Hello, everyone. Hi, everybody. It's Coach Christy. I'm only here for a moment, though. I am so excited about tonight. I'm looking around my office right now, going, I need to be taking a lot of notes today. So, you guys know that on the training calendar tonight, we have an amazing guest coach coming on to teach us how to organize our home so we can buy back time to do the things that we really want to spend time doing. So I am so excited to introduce you guys to her. I've chatted with her yesterday. She is absolutely delightful. So get your pen and paper out. She's going to have some amazing notes for you to take and some amazing suggestions. And I just can't wait for y'all to meet her. Okay, so let me just get things set up. So I need to pull up her. And first, I'm going to change my name because, I don't want anybody coming here thinking I'm Corinne because I ain't Corinne. All right, I am Coach Christy. Okay, there we go. And I am going to pull her up, and she is going to become a panelist. So then she will be able to talk to y'all, and then I'm going silent. So I hope everybody has a good time listening to Becky tonight.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm gonna let you take it away.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Christy. I appreciate it. Oh, all right. Let me get my computer working here. Okay. First of all, guys, thank you so much. Am I coming from Karen's closet? No, I wish. Although her closet's like the size of the room that I'm in right now. But I am thrilled to be able to be here for you guys today. I have been in OBS. First of all, let me back up. Let me back up. I'm Becky. I'm Becky Hyman. I used to be Becky Blackburn. So if you've been in OBS for a while, then you might remember me as that. But I was just married a few months ago. So I have been in OBS since 2019. It has rocked my world, changed my world. I never thought in a million years, A, that I could lose weight, and B, that I could start my own business. But here I am. And not only am I doing this business as my full-time gig, but I am really helping people, changing their lives. I'm feeling super great about it. And the more people I work with, the more I can just feel the love. So I want that for you guys. I want to be able to create a little bit of calm, a little bit of peace, a little bit of back to your environment so that you can focus on the things that matter, like your health and your families and your hobbies and career. So that is my passion. My passion is to help other women just make an environment that they can control that is a little bit better, that is something that's not going to stress them out, not create bad decisions, and then we can kind of create a better life for ourselves that way. Because we all, I think we can all say that your environment definitely reflects your mental status. So, like if you are surrounded in clutter, more than likely you're kind of feeling like you're drowning, right? So it all connects. But I just wanted to introduce myself as Becky the Hoss Lady, HOSS, Home Organization Simplification Specialist. And what in the Urban Dictionary, actually, Hoss woman is a small Southern woman who's a beast at everything she does. So I stole the name. I am now the Hoss Lady, and that's why I have that name. But I am going to, real quick, before I start the slideshow, I would love for everybody in the chat, if you can, just pop in there and tell me one little thing or big thing that you find struggle. It's a battle, maybe something that you do not enjoy about home organization or that you don't understand, or maybe something that you just really need help with. So throw that in the chat. I am going to open the chat over here. Paper, laundry, craft room. Absolutely. Paper's a big one. Yes. Yes. All right. Ooh, the garage. Ooh. Yes, counter space, paper closet, just systems that work for the family. That's a good one. Okay, overwhelming amounts of stuff. We can all say we probably have too much stuff. I mean, right? This is fantastic, guys. Thank you so much. This is great. So today I'm not going to talk about all of those things, but I am going to cover kind of a wide umbrella of things that you can actually hone in and use these ideas to benefit you when you are ready to start working on those areas. So let me go ahead and share my screen so that you guys can see the slideshow. So if you can see the screen, can somebody give me a thumbs up? Thumbs up all around. Okay, this is fantastic. All right. So buyback time for your weight loss, y'all. This song, oh, hold on, let me see if I can even do it. This song has been in my head. Can you hear it? Okay, anyway, enough of that. That song has been in my head for weeks. And I'm like, do my presentation, do the whole no BS try. This is gonna be so awesome. But yeah, that song has been in my head, so I had to play the song. Anyway, again, I'm Becky Hyman. I'm the Hoss Lady. I joined No BS in 2019. Basically, I was always the person in the family who would go in and kind of clean up after people. I was always kind of picking up clutter around the house or cleaning off countertops. I don't know, picking up the laundry and those kinds of things. And I would always go over to someone's house, usually my mom, and help her declutter her house. She just never learned, never had that knack, I guess. And one day I'm doing her closet, and I wasn't letting her keep a lot of the things that she wanted to keep. And it was just because, first of all, the clothes had dust on it. And I was like, Mama, you don't need to keep this. And she said, well, it's a nice suit. And I said, okay. When did you wear it last? And she said, when she was working. And I thought, okay, so you're going to go back out of retirement and go back to work so you can wear this suit again? No. So anyway, I was helping her do these kinds of things. And she just looked at me and she was like, Becky, you really need to do this professionally. And so here we are, several years later, living that dream. And I have to say that my mom, who passed away 2 years ago, gave me that confidence. She planted that seed, and man, all the pieces came together. So here we are. All right. So I want you to take a moment and just think, like, what if you could buy back time for your weight loss? Like in the chat, if you could come home to your house and I had come in and like waved my magic wand and your house is organized and easily to maintain, what are some of the things that you would be doing that maybe you aren't doing right now because of your house being unorganized? So in the chat, if you guys want to do like answer that question, is there anything that you could be doing more of? Relaxing, getting focused, crafting, jumping for joy. That's awesome. Invite people over. Oh my gosh, yes. That's a big one. So many people are so ashamed of their house. They don't want anyone to come in it. That's a good one. Feeling like a good mom. Yeah. Reading. Yeah. Finishing projects. That's a big one, Tony. Okay. These are really good answers, guys. So, what if I were to tell you that you could do all of these things if you had a better system in place for your home organization? And we have so many things in our life that are kind of like time wasters, time suckers, things that we just think we're doing to save time, maybe not even save time, but like procrastinating. Like for one, let's say you're notorious for losing your keys all the time, or your purse, or your readers, or whatever. You're losing something all the time and you spend minutes, maybe lots of minutes, maybe weeks looking for these things, right? Well, if you could have all of that time back because you had a system in place for always putting your keys in the same place every single time you walked in the door, imagine how much that's going to add up at the end of a year or the end of a day. That 2 minutes that you've spent, digging out your keys or looking for something like that, you could have made a plan. You could have sat down because you knew you were going to be on, in the car and going because your keys are in the right place. So there's just like so many things like that that we do, and they just suck our time away because we just don't have simple systems that can really help our environments, right? To be organized. And it's really all about making intentional decisions. One of the things, like a time sucker I usually come back to, is laundry. There are very few people who love laundry, and if you do, kudos. I am not a laundry person. I don't love laundry. But I kind of grew up with a laundry drama, trauma, whatever you want to call it. And laundry was never my thing. But now that I'm married to Joe is a laundry person and he loves it. And I have been so fascinated by this because I feel like who could love laundry? But it's about being intentional because if you were to put off doing your laundry, what happens? Then you have piles and piles and piles of laundry. And then you have to wash all those clothes and you're like washing everything and you're basically spending 2 to 3 days just getting caught up on laundry, right? When if you were more consistent and had a better system in place, it's going to be a lot easier to keep up and maintain. And it's not going to feel like such a chore. I'm not going to say you're going to love it because even though he does laundry, I still don't like it. I've never liked laundry. But just like everything else in your life, home organization is all about making intentional decisions. And I've kind of broken things down into three types of decisions. Okay. You have your subconscious decisions, you have your tiny decisions or micro decisions, and then you have like the big plans, the big ass action decisions. Okay. So let me kind of talk about what those are so you can kind of be thinking about that as we're going through some of my examples here. So a subconscious decision is something obviously that you're not thinking about. It's just habit. It could be a good habit, it could be a bad habit. It's something that you don't have to think about, like maybe hanging up your keys when you walk in the door. If that's a habit that you have created, then you just hang up your keys. If you have the habit of making your bed the moment you get out of bed, you don't always have to think about it. That's kind of a micro, or that's kind of a subconscious decision. The micro decisions are more intentional, and it's more like the daily chores, the daily choices of, do I unload the dishwasher or do I put it off? Do I go ahead and fold the laundry or do I put it off? Do I put the screwdriver back when I'm done with it, or do I just leave it on the counter? Do I shove things in a junk drawer, or do I put it back in its place? Do I put something down, or do I go put it away? It's these intentional choices, whether it's good choices or bad, they're still choices. And then we have our macro decisions. These are like big ass planned out actions. And I kind of consider that as like your big purges. Okay. So let's say you're trying to downsize. You have way too many clothes. Your garage is like floor to ceiling, wall to wall stuff. Then that's something that you want to do, but you really need to be very, very intentional about when you're going to do it and plan out that time so that you're more likely to succeed than just willy-nilly it and go in, whatever. So while I'm talking about this, I want you to kind of think about it as kind of a triangle. So you have your macro decisions at the bottom. So it's a big, heavy, it feels like, oh, I have to make these decisions. These are big decisions. These are decisions that I really want to change in my life. And then once those decisions are made and you've made some progress with decluttering, purging, getting a system in place for all of these things, then it kind of comes up to the micro decisions are in the middle, right? The daily things. So the laundry, when you're doing the laundry, because you've made that you already took action down here, that you have purged and cleaned out your closet, you don't have near as much clothes. So you're in that middle line, right? You're in the micro decision phase. That decision is no longer hard. It's no longer burdensome. Is that a word? Burdensome? Oh God, whatever. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say. And then if you are able to create really good micro decisions that just become part of your daily routine, those are going to end up being at the top with your subconscious habit decisions. What I want is for all of this to just be a habit, because being organized is a lifestyle. Being organized is not something you can do overnight. You can probably purge your closet and have a very nice organized closet, but overnight, like 6 months from now, because you didn't develop all these good habits, that's going to be something that's going to come back and haunt you. How many times have you guys done that? Cleaned out a closet, 6 months later, you turn around and you're like, what the fuck? Why is this destroyed again? That's why. So, okay. So think about that triangle. What we want to do is get everything to the top. We want to make sure that all of our decisions, not all, but most of them are up here at the top and make easy decisions. Okay. All right. So, subconscious decisions. I'm going to kind of break this down just a little bit. Burdensome. Thank you, Tanya. So, losing your keys all the time is an example that I use because it used to be me. I would come in, I'd have my keys in my hand, and I would just go sit down. And wherever I sat down, that's where the keys would land. And then the next morning, I'm like, running late because I don't have a system in place, trying to find my keys, scatterbrained, trying to figure it out. And then it occurs to me, all I have to do is hang them up. I'll always know where they are. They don't have to be in my purse because sometimes I change my purse. Sometimes I don't even carry a purse, but I always need my keys. So I just create a better system. Okay. And it's something that you will develop over time. Doesn't have to be overnight. They don't have to be giant, big changes, but it's just something that you can do a little bit at a time. So I want to read this to you guys. The average person will lose up to 9 items every day. In the US alone, over 400 million items are lost and found every year. That's ridiculous, right? The average person spends 2.5 days per year, which is 60 hours, looking for lost items. How much could you accomplish if you had an extra 60 hours for the year? That's like a week and a half of like work week. How much more could you get done? So this is why we want systems, very easy, quick, very subconscious decisions that we can make. And what I have found, and I hope you guys have heard of this, is habit stacking is one of the best ways to do that. And basically, if you could in the chat, if you could go ahead and put in there, what is one thing that you're always looking for? Maybe it's the screwdriver, maybe it's your keys or shoes, backpack. Your phone. Good one, Christy. Absolutely. You're always losing this one thing. Scissors, tape measure. Yes. Socks. Yeah. My readers. Yes, Barbie. I lose my glasses all the time. I have two pair on my desk right now because I will put them on and walk away. And then I'll take them off and walk away. So awesome. Okay. So let's say you could create a formula, a habit stacking system to where you're just making a little conscious decision where you can assign a place for that item that will always go back to that item, that place. Okay. This is habit stacking, and it's from a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. If you have not read it, I strongly recommend it. When I read it, I was reading it for weight loss, like how to create my morning routine and how to do these other things. But it applies to everything that you can do, any kind of habit that you want to create. This is a fantastic formula to fill in. And the way this works is you're going to say, when I insert the existing habit, I will insert new action. So when I walk in the door, I will hang up my keys. So your existing habit is that you're going to walk in the door. It's not really a habit, but it's something you know you're going to do, right? You're going to walk in the door from wherever you went. And the first thing you're going to do is hang up your keys. So the trigger is when I walk in the door, I'm going to hang up my keys. When I go to the bathroom, when I wake up in the morning and come back into the bedroom, I will make my bed. When I go put a load of laundry in, I will take the stuff out of the dryer and take it to the couch to fold it. So you're creating these little things. You can also do it in the reverse. So before I do something, I will insert a new action. So if your thing is that the dishwasher does not get loaded, unloaded, or loaded on a consistent schedule, you could say something like, before I drink my coffee, I will unload the dishwasher. So for the thing you said that you couldn't find all the time, could you create a sentence like that? Could you think about a way to create a stack, a habit stack, where you take something that you already do one thing, and you're going to combine it with what you want to create a new habit with? So this is exactly what you need to be doing. If you lose your keys all the time, hang it up by the door. If it's your purse, hang it up on a hook. If it's your shoes, take them off, put them in a basket. There's so many different things that you can do that if you have a trigger of what you already do, combine it with your new action. So definitely read Atomic Habits. I probably destroy that explanation, but hopefully you guys got the idea. Okay. So, and I just want to say, if you guys have any questions, the Q&A will be open at the end of the presentation, the workshop. So by all means, use the Q&A to insert any question that you have about anything home organization. I will gladly answer any questions that you guys have. Let me drink some water. Yep, Coach Christy said the Q&A is open now. So go ahead and pop in any questions that you guys might want me to answer. All right. So let's think about micro decisions. These are the decisions that you'd make on a normal, everyday basis. So the next, I guess, level up or level down, really, these are the conscious decisions that we make every day for everyday tasks like unloading the dishwasher, folding and putting away your clothes, making your bed, clearing off the kitchen counter, putting away the food and the things off the kitchen counter, throwing away junk mail. These are conscious decisions that are just made daily. Okay. And see, these are all decisions that we make constantly. So the goal really is to morph a lot of those micro decisions into that subconscious habit so that we're not thinking about it. And one example, and a lot of people said their paperwork was a big deal. I can guarantee you that if you are going to get the mail and bringing the mail in and leaving it in a stack, so much of that paper is junk, right? So if you could create a habit of when I go to the mailbox, I will immediately go to the trash can and throw away the clutter, the junk mail. And you just reduce paper by like 90%, right? So the less decisions that we have to make about our day-to-day tasks, the more calm our brain is going to be, and the more likely we will be better at making better choices with our weight loss, and it'll be a much bigger priority because we're not always thinking about all the other things. It's just part of our routine. I want you guys to consider that when it gets to a point where you've created a habit and you don't do the habit, it's weird. And what I mean by that, like going back to the key example, if I were to walk in completely frazzled, something's happened and I lay my keys down. But later that, like later, I'm walking through the kitchen and I see that the keys are on the counter. That needs to be weird. That needs to be like, whoa, that's not normal. So we want those day-to-day tasks, those conscious decisions, like, oh, wait, why isn't the dishwasher unloaded? Those kinds of things. We want all of that to be subconscious, just part of our daily lifestyle. What do we do on a daily basis? Means, a lot of that needs to be just who we are. It doesn't have to be a choice we have to make. It's just who we are. Okay. So this is a big example, and I'm so glad a lot of you put laundry on the question earlier about what is your biggest struggle. All right, guys, so the hard truth is this, and we all know it, it's just logic. The more clothes you own, the more laundry you will be doing. By owning fewer clothes, you are reducing the amount of time weeding through all the clothes, just trying to decide what to wear. That's a time saver. If you had less clothes, you don't have to think about it. The benefits to this is that you spend as much time trying on, or you won't spend as much time trying on your clothes just to hate it, end up throwing it across the room on the floor and leaving it there, which is going to pile up, right? It is a harsh truth, Lori. This is the truth. You cannot, unless you have a ginormous closet, you cannot keep so many clothes that it's hard to put things away. All right. Let me go to the next slides. Here's some more hard truth, guys. The average American has over $300 worth of clothes that they never wear. Since we are a weight loss group, I want everybody to think about that. Are you hanging on to clothes in your closet with the hopes that you're going to lose the weight? And every time you open that closet, does it spark motivation, excitement, pleasure? Or does it give you a feeling of, I'm still not in that size yet. I'm still not down to that size. I wish I could wear these clothes. Do you have those kinds of thoughts? Why are you hanging on to these clothes? A, it's taking up too much of your space. B, it's a constant reminder. And not a happy constant reminder, right? Even if you were to remove those clothes from your closet, put them in a box and put them in the attic, or give them to a friend and say, hey, when I lose my 40 pounds, give me this box back. But it's not in your face every single morning. You do not have to hold on to these clothes. The same thing goes with the other side. If the clothes are too big, but you're holding on to them just in case you gain some weight back, that's not a healthy thought either. Again, you can put those clothes away, donate them. I think, isn't there a group in Novia's where they exchange clothes on the constant? That is a perfect way to recycle those clothes. You do not have to hold on to them. Okay, tangent over. The average person takes 17 minutes each morning trying to decide what to wear. And that number is increased in relation to how many items of clothing you have to choose from. How many times have you tried on an outfit and you really want it to work? You really want it to look beautiful because when you saw it on Amazon or you saw it on the model or you saw it in the store, it was so freaking cute. You bring it home, you try it on, and it's like, whew, that was not pretty. I do not feel comfortable. I do not feel confident in this. So you throw it on the floor And how many times are you going to put that outfit back on? 6 weeks from now, you're going to put it back on because maybe it's changed. Maybe you're going to look awesome in it. Just get rid of it. You're spending way too much time making that decision, and you're only setting yourself up because when you put that outfit on, you don't feel confident and you're not comfortable. And those are the two things. Those are the two types of clothes that you need to be keeping. They need to be comfortable and they need to make you feel confident. That's what I'm going to say about clothes. Okay. Research shows that women tend to have an emotional connection with clothing and holding on to clothes that do not fit, which can lower self-esteem and create more stress, which is basically what I just covered. But what about the clothes that maybe they do fit, but you haven't worn in forever? For example, I had a client who was holding on to her dress that she took out, she wore when she met her husband, their first date. And it was in the 90s. It was in the 90s. And she still had the dress. Now it still fit her, but she ain't gonna wear it again. But she was keeping it for nostalgia. And I was just like, you know what? I bet we can let this dress go. I bet we can. Because if you're not looking at this dress, can you still remember that date? Can you still remember the first time you saw your husband? Can he still imagine you in the dress? These are things that you don't need to hold on to just for the memory, because the memory isn't about the item. The item has nothing to do with that memory, because you can trigger that memory anytime you want, just like that. You do not have to have the dress on or in your closet to have that memory. So that's that. All right. So, what are the excuses and obstacles that we create for ourselves about too close, about having too many clothes? I mean, it's just logic. Again, the more clothes you own, the more laundry you will have to do. The more towels you own, the more towels you will have to wash, fold, and put away. The more sheets you have, the more blankets you have, pillowcases you have, the more socks you have, the more jackets you have, you are going to end up having to wash these and put them away. But really, it's more than just owning too many things. What it really boils down to is that you do not, maybe, you do not have enough space to hold these things. I don't care how much you own. If you have space to put it away and you walk into your closet and you have the luxury of just doing this when you hang up a dress, keep it. Keep everything, unless it doesn't fit. But the problem is, if you do not have a big closet, if you do not have a ginormous, dresser to keep everything that you love, that's where the clutter comes in. That's where you have piles and piles of stuff that you don't have a space for. Because the what I teach in my groups and in my clients is that every space in your house needs to have a function. In other words, every drawer has a function, and only the stuff that relates to that function will go in that space. Once you reach the top of that space and there's no more room, you have some decisions to make. So if you're hanging up a dress and you're having to shove shit to the left just to hang up something, you've got too many things in your closet, right? So it's not always about the washing and drying. That may not be the problem. Literally, you put stuff in the washer, you put stuff in the dryer, you put it on the couch, but it's the folding and putting away that I find most people have that obstacle. That's a hurdle for people. And I don't think it has anything to do with the action of folding and the action of putting away. What it actually is that somewhere inside, you know, it's going to be a struggle to put your clothes away because there's nowhere to put them. If you had zero resistance between what you're actually going to put away and the space it goes in, you're just going to put it in the space. But if you know somewhere in the back of your head that you have too many sweaters and they're not going to fit in the drawer, so what are you going to do? You're just probably going to leave it in a basket. And it's going to get wrinkled. So These are things you really need to think about. Either create a better system where you have a ginormous wall of cubbies, like behind me. These IKEA cubbies are fantastic, guys. They hold so much stuff. But anyway, you can organize it like that to where you have a cubby for everything you own. I don't care how you organize it, but the problem is the resistance. The problem is we're not folding and putting away because it is hard. Because there is something blocking us from doing it. So we want it to be easy, and that's where the systems come into place. So we want to reduce the amount of friction. So what about the whole, it's, I'm too tired, I'm going to put it off until tomorrow. Well, let's think about that too. So if you put off doing your laundry until tomorrow, you're still going to have the same amount of laundry, maybe a little bit more. And it's still going to take, what, 90 seconds to put stuff in the washer and turn it on. And then another 90 seconds to take it from the washer and put it in the dryer. And then because you're already home and you're watching your favorite TV show on Netflix, you have something to look at while you're actually folding your clothes. And the resistance part is gone. Because we already took care of that because we're cleaning out our drawers and we're not holding on to stuff that doesn't fit in our spaces, right? Those are the things that we need to think about. It's not that we don't have time, it's just that we have too much stuff and we do not consider our future selves in these moments, right? So, what do I recommend? Purge, purge, purge. Get rid of it. Cammie Walker. Good friend of mine. She was in my accountability group back when we were still, really tight. Cammie sent me a text out of the blue one day, and she was like, "There's a group of people who like it's kind of like a dinner club, a supper club where people go, like four people, four families, the moms get together, and once a month they go to somebody else's house and they do like a major deep clean. What if you did that with like a buddy that you live with close by?" That could come over. They could either just sit there on the couch and talk to you while you're decluttering, or they could actually work with you and the next time go to their house and you can help them. It's all about working together. If you have an obstacle, if you aren't really sure how to get started, you're just too overwhelmed or whatever, maybe you just need someone there with you. So the way I'll tell you guys right now, if you don't follow me on social media, the month of October, we're actually doing a clothes closet clean out. So every single day this month, we have done a tiny little item. So, like one day was just socks. And all you do is you go grab a big box, you put it in your bedroom or a big laundry bag or garbage bag, and you go through the drawer of your socks and you throw it away. It takes like 2 minutes. To throw away the non-matching socks or to throw away the ones that don't fit or to, recycle or donate the ones that you won't ever wear again. So those are the kinds of things every single day we're doing something like that so that you don't have to go through it all at once, but we're just doing a little bit at a time. And definitely I recommend you guys follow me on social media because it's just like a little, I just say pants. Today, it's just a reminder, hey, go clean out your pants drawer. So those are things. Yes, and the challenge has been very doable. And I have a VIP group actually, and Anne's in there. And my VIP group is for people who have purchased my audio course, which I'll talk about in a minute. But if you have purchased the audio group, you get to be in this special group. And I've actually been recording myself doing these daily, purges or whatever. My social is actually on Instagram. It's at the underscore Haas underscore lady. Or you can just find me on Facebook. It's my name, Becky B. Hyman. You can just follow me there too. Thank you, Christy. So yeah, we do these challenges. Every month we'll do something different. One month we did No Buy July. We don't get to buy anything extra. just that, make it conscious about how much you're actually spending. And then we did September. What was September? You'll have to remind me. Oh, Mars was just weeks ago. But anyway, every month we do something different. So this in October, we're doing our clothes clean out. Okay. All right. Number two, another example of time suckers and time wasters is the messy kitchen. Now, I want to find out from you guys, how many times have you put on your plan that you're going to come home, even if it's like a really super freaking easy dinner like spaghetti? You put spaghetti on your plan, but you had a really shit day, and you come home, and the kitchen is just disgusting. Like, the dishes weren't cleaned the night before. You've got all this crap sitting around. The countertops are full of papers. The kids' backpacks, all this stuff is just a hot mess. You look at it for like 3 seconds and you're like, fuck this. I'm ordering a pizza. Has that ever happened to you? I promise you, going back to my mom, when I would go to her house, if I could go in and actually clear off her countertops for her, clear off the kitchen table, have a space like what I call the white space challenge, which I'll talk about in just a second, but have a white space, an open area with not a bunch of junk, she was 100% more likely to make one of those fantastic meals that I loved. But more than likely, more than ever, it was usually cluttered. And so she wasn't always making the best decisions because in the moment, it was not fun. It was not good. She didn't want to go into that messy kitchen. So, one thing I love to say, we don't eat off dirty dishes, so we aren't gonna eat out of a dirty kitchen either. Think about that. If you just clean up as you go, oh, that's what September was. Tiny little habits. That's what it was. Cleaning up as you go. So it's to have your best way to lose weight, oh, listen to this, is to have a kitchen that brings you joy, not one that scares you away. That's awesome. All right, here are some more statistics. Disorganized and messy environments led participants, this is a study done by the Royal College of General Practitioners, led participants in one study to eat more snacks. Not only did they eat twice as much as people in tidy homes, but they also made less healthy choices, like picking chocolate over an apple. Guys, listen to this. People with cluttered homes are 77% more likely to be overweight. I'm gonna say that again. If you're multitasking, I'm gonna do the Amy Porterfield. If you're multitasking, come back. Listen. People with cluttered homes are 77% more likely to be overweight. So, just gonna let that sit. All right. So, your past self from last night, she was not thinking about you. But you are for sure thinking about her now. Because you're like, why didn't I do that? Why did I let myself go to bed and not just spend 3 minutes doing the dishes? It's all about making those decisions, those conscious decisions, over and over and over and over again until it just becomes habit. This is a perfect example. So, some tips and tricks for this. One thing is called the white space challenge, and I have done this challenge in my groups where you have nothing on the counter, kitchen counter, or nothing on the dining room table, nothing on the coffee table. So you're not leaving stuff out, you're actually putting things away. So the white space, if you know anything about writing a book or anything, the white space in an advertisement is the open space where there's nothing written. So I want the white space of your kitchen to be your kitchen counters. Where there's nothing there, it's free, it's open, and it's inviting, and it's clean, and it's like, bring me the stuff to make my perfect meal or whatever. Those are the things that you can do super quick. So if you think you don't have time to do this, set a timer for 3 minutes and just get as much done as you can. And one thing that once you get into that habit, I really encourage you guys to do something called reset your space. And basically, that is like when you're done with your job, you put your desk back in order. You put your pens up, you put your mouse up, you put, you know, your glasses or whatever is on your desk. You put everything away. When you're done cooking a meal, you just clean up before you do anything else. You just clean it up. You're resetting that space. Before you go to bed and you've been in the living room, so you're in the living room watching TV, when you reset that space, before you go to bed, you're going to put the remote away. You're going to fold up the blankets. You're going to put the couches back together with all the pillows. You're going to get the shoes off the floor. It's less than 3 minutes. You just reset your space so that when you go into it the next time, whether it's the next morning or in 30 more minutes or, you know, a couple of days, whatever it is, when you go back to it, it's clean, it's inviting, and it's less stressful. And you can enjoy the spaces that you have. Oh, and then honestly, you really need to assess how much you have in your kitchen. Now, I used to sell Pampered Chef. I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but I did. I used to sell Pampered Chef. I have all kinds of gadgets. I did. I had all kinds of gadgets that I never used. I don't need any of that stuff. I just never used it. So I got rid of almost all of it. And it's like your coffee cups. For some reason, coffee cups are so hard to get rid of. Do you really need them? Do you really need 45 coffee cups? Could you use the same one every single day? These are things you can really ask yourself. Be honest about it. Do you need to keep everything in your kitchen? Probably not. The more dishes you have, the more dishes you have to wash, right? Okay. All right. To the big one you guys have been really looking forward to, I think. This is paperwork. This is the third biggest thing that I have like come across that people really, really, really need help with. Think of this every time you get paperwork, you're going to file it, don't pile it. File it, don't pile it. This is like, don't put it down, put it away, but it's paperwork. So you're going to file it, don't pile it. In other words, if you could do, create a system where you have a like an actual filing cabinet or a box that you keep your inbox for your bills and whatnot. You come in from the mail, from the getting the mail outside, you have your mail in your hand. Your system is, your habits are, is you're going to throw away the junk mail. You're going to open up the bills. You're going to put the bill in an inbox and throw away the envelope. So you have one piece of paper now versus like 90, because most of that crap is junk. So you file it in the inbox because that's where you're going to pay your bills. As soon as you've paid that bill, you're going to shred it or you're going to file it. I suggest you just shred it. You don't need to keep that kind of stuff. But anyway, all right. The average American gets 49,000 pieces of mail in their lifetime. A third of that is junk. Average US executive wastes 6 weeks per year retrieving misplaced information from messy desks and files. So for an executive earning $75,000 a year, that translates to a loss of over $9,000 or 12% of their total earnings. So if a company has 100 executives at that salary, then it's almost $1 million in lost productivity. That's obviously business corporation statistics, but imagine how that could come into your house. Imagine how much more proficient you will be with your bills, how much more on top of things, and how it's not going to be a burden to actually sit down and do bills because they're all right here in your inbox. One fourth of Americans have lost an important document, and only 40% could locate documents if needed. If I were to ask you right now, just give me a thumbs up in the thing, could you find me your birth certificate, your passport? Could you find me your social security card? Lots of thumbs up. Could you find your shot records? Could you find, I'm trying to think of what else we need to keep. Could you find your mortgage papers, your car loan papers, the things that we need to keep? Could you find all of these? Very good. That's awesome. Not a lot of people can do that. I cannot tell you how many houses I have cleaned, gone over and organized for them and pulled out a box. And they're like, oh my God, it's my passport. I haven't seen it in 6 years. So these are things that we need to keep really good systems for. And a lot of that comes from a lot of the resistance, the obstacles and excuses that we have with paperwork is that we probably grew up with parents and grandparents who said, keep everything. Don't throw anything away. Keep all your bank statements. Keep all your like canceled checks. Keep every tax you've ever done, every tax receipt, every you name it. They've told you to keep all of this stuff because someone told them that the IRS was going to come invade their house and take away all their papers and audit them. We don't live in 1960 anymore, so we do not have to keep everything. Almost everything is digital these days. You can go get a new birth certificate if you have to. Just going to the clerk's office in your county. But like bank statements, go to your bank. If you can't pull it up online, go to the teller. She may charge you $5, but hey, you get your bank statement if you absolutely have to have it. Get your bills through e-statements so that you aren't having paper mailed to you. E-statements, just it's an email. You don't have to keep anything. So, what can you throw away? How long do you keep it? I would say any question you have like that, because I am not going to tell you something and then you throw out a bunch of papers and you get audited and you're like, but she told me I could throw it away. Check with the IRS.gov about any kind of tax papers and how long you should hold on to them. If you're a business owner, you're like you're what do they call that? Where you have to keep it so long. My brain just completely dumped. Anyway, the amount of time you have to retain it. You're retaining, yes. How long you have to retain those documents. All of that is going to be out on IRS.gov. Follow those rules with them. The suggested from the IRS, I can tell you that I have looked it up before, 3 to 4 years. It used to be 7, but now it's 3 to 4 years. So you just need to keep like a big folder with all of your tax returns. I have a binder that every year I would put a copy of it in that binder. And then the next year, when we got a new one, I would take the last one, the oldest one out, shred it, and we're done. But you don't have to keep basically almost everything. There's so much that you do not have to hold on to. Okay. So, email clutter is hell. Yeah. And that's another thing. If you guys get on my emailing list, I try not to bombard you with a whole lot of emails. I know that it's the norm when you subscribe to a group or whatever that they give you like 10 emails a day. No, maybe one a week, maybe. Used to be one a month, but I had a request from my members to actually, or my members, my followers to increase that. So anyway, back to the story. Information station. I want you to think about your house. And I want you to think about your daily routine. And think about how you can come in from from school and you have your information station there, your command center, whatever you want to call it. This is one centralized area where you keep your like stamps, if you mail letters, your envelopes, your pens and pencils, any kind of like post-it notes. It's basically like your office. And you would have a place for your mail to go in. You would have a place for your kids' schoolwork to come in where they're like, Mom, I need you to sign this. You're like, okay, take it out of your backpack and put it in the inbox. This information station, and this is one thing that I really go into detail with in the in my audio course that I have. So I don't want to put too much emphasis on this. I think we're running close to out of time. So paperwork is definitely covered in the audio course, but you have a binder for your important papers. make sure that you get your trash out the door immediately. A good rule to follow is you only handle it once. So it's the Ohio, only handle it once, so that you're not constantly moving it from stack to stack to stack. We don't want to do that anymore. All right, real quick, but not really quick. The big ass actions, these are the plans that you make with big intention. This is the jobs that you do that you're going to be so damn proud of yourself, like cleaning out a garage or doing a pantry purge or getting rid of all your clothes that don't fit from your closet. These are things that aren't going to be done on a daily like routine necessarily. These are things that you want to plan ahead and take action with great intention. And I'll just kind of go over a few statistics here. 54% of Americans are overwhelmed with clutter, and 78% have no idea what to do with it. Getting rid of your clutter in an intentional purge, which is what we're talking about, eliminates over 40% of housework. Sleeping in a cluttered bedroom increases the chance of sleeping problems. What's one of our basics? Right? If you're not getting good sleep, what do you have around you? I read a really good book from, it's called The Hoarder in You. And it is it's the lady who does the show Hoarders. It's the psychologist in that show. She wrote a book. And she was talking about how even holding on to like, her client had boxes of her mother who had passed away, had boxes of these quilt pieces that she never got put together. She just thought it was harmless. She wanted to hold on to it because one day she was going to get this quilt made, but she just never did. And the psychologist was like, even in your subconscious brain, that is under your bed. You may not think about it every single day or every single night, but it's still there. So it's going to be a reminder of things you haven't finished. You don't want anything in your bedroom that's going to remind you of what you're not doing right. You don't want anything in your bedroom that's going to create some kind of stress. Your bedroom should be your oasis, your calm, the one place in your house that you can go and you have complete control over everything. Even if your husband's a slob, we can get into that. But that's one of those things for another day about how to handle other people with your clutter or with their clutter. But this is what I'm talking about. Clutter affects your relationships. It affects your attention span. Y'all, I have ADHD. I was diagnosed 2 years ago. Kind of surprised me. I kind of wondered why I had so many manics and so many depressives. It's not bipolar. It's just ADHD. Why I could not always finish projects. And I'm really teaching myself how to finish things. It's really been amazing. That diagnosis changed my life. But it changes your focus, your productivity. Having clutter in your house changes your physical health. And we already talked about that. All right. Some of the problems and obstacles and excuses that we have when we are trying to do these big spaces. It's overwhelming the amount of junk you have. You have no idea where to start. You never seem to have enough time, and it just takes too long. So one thing I want you to think about, and since this is a time management incorporated month, is if you're going to plan out one of these purges, and you can do it in small chunks like the daily challenges like we do, you know, on social media, or you can do it in one fell swoop, which is what my audio course is. It takes you into one room and you do a major purge, start to finish. And it basically walks you through step to step to step. And it's like you push pause and I say, okay, go do the task and come back. But if you think, all right, I'm going to go clean out my closet, it's just going to take a couple hours. Stop right there. Triple that number and say, no, it's going to take 6 hours. And this is why. You want to block off a big chunk of time so that A, if you don't do that and you just assume it's going to take 2 hours, you're going to go in there and start pulling everything out of your closet, stuff that you didn't even remember was in there. You're going to be like, what the fuck? Where is this stuff coming from? You know that was in there, boxes and stuff hanging and hiding and all kinds of stuff in there. At the 2 hour mark, you've basically only pulled stuff out and you're going to be so overwhelmed. And you're like, I'm done. I can't do this. So if you give yourself 6 hours, then at that 2 hour mark, you can go take a little 10, 15 minute break, which is what my audio course will do. It'll make you take a little break. And then you come back to it with fresh eyes. You can continue on and you've allotted 6 hours from your day to finish that task. I don't recommend doing much more than 6 hours. When I do a client house, I only do 6 hours because it's physical work and you're going to wear yourself out. So anyway, just make sure that if you think it's going to take 30 minutes, give yourself 90. Multiply that number by three because you do not realize what you don't see. This is what I mean. So it's like you have been hiding stuff away for so long, you've forgotten what you've hid away. It's like a squirrel hiding his nuts, right? And this quote was hilarious. While it's almost certain that squirrels do indeed forget some subset of the nuts that they bury over a nut-bearing season, it's not clear whether these are truly forgotten or simply abandoned in favor of those that are easier to recover. In other words, the clothes that are all the way to the back of the closet that you can't reach, that are out of sight, out of mind, you may love them. But because you've been buying new stuff and shoving it into the front of the closet, all that stuff's forgotten about. So you're going to need extra time when you do these big purges. So again, block off more time than you need, multiply it by three, take lots of breaks, especially if you're getting overwhelmed. And I know a lot of people get kind of paralyzed when they walk into a room that's just complete chaos, no idea where to start, no idea what to do first. This is where you have to remind yourself that there is nothing in that room that is beyond your ability. You can identify what that item is, you can categorize that item, you can give that item a home, and you can move it out of the junk. These are not hard tasks. We're just making it hard because we're not giving ourselves time to kind of breathe and really focus in on what actually matters. And that's doing what's best for you. What really matters is going into a space, having compassion for yourself, not judging yourself. Do not remind yourself what a, lazy whatever. You're not lazy. It doesn't matter how this happened. It does not matter if your husband did it. It doesn't matter if your partner did it. It doesn't matter if your kids did it. What matters is you're going to fix it. You're just going to decide. No judgment. Don't judge yourself and don't judge others about how it got this way. You're going to fix it. You're not going to cheat. You're not going to take a lot of shortcuts. You can take as many breaks as you need, but you're not going to cheat the system. And you're not going to quit. Those are my three rules. We don't judge, we don't cheat, and we don't quit. And it seems simple, and there's a lot to it, but it's just how we want to treat ourselves. And you can use those three rules with anything you do in your life, weight loss, starting a business, anything. So focus in on that. We don't judge, we don't cheat, and we don't quit. So again, being tidy is only about making decisions. We make unconscious habitual decisions. We make those mundane decisions all day long, those micro decisions. What we want to do is to make intentional, purposeful decisions that will create a life and an environment that allows us to be our best version. So I think this is the Q&A part. I'm going to stop sharing my screen so I can see what's going on. And I will Q&A. All right. Melissa asks, any ideas on socks? It's usually helping my kids find socks. Okay. I'll give you my answer from me growing up. We had a sock basket. My mom hated socks. She hated laundry. I think that's where I got my aversion from. But any sock, she would just throw it in a basket, and it was up to us to find the matches. So if you have multiple children, I don't recommend sock basket. I was just saying that that's how I grew up, which is funny that you asked that. So if you have multiple children and it's in your capability, you can color coordinate socks. Like even if they're just white, maybe the heel has a pink and all of, juniors are purple, all of, sissies are pink, and everybody has their own colors. So there is no confusion over who gets what socks. And it's what the only time you would ever not have a matched sock is if the dryer eats it or whatever. So definitely, I do not fold my socks when I put them in there. I have a sock sorter. It's like a little box that has these little cubes in it, kind of thing. If you can imagine like a grid, and I just take a pair of socks and I shove them in each little hole. And so when I'm doing the laundry, of course, I don't, when Joe is doing my laundry, let's be real, he gets all the socks together and piles them up in a pile, and then I just put them in those little things. So if it's a matter of finding the socks, if you have a grid like that, or if you have a drawer specifically only for socks, then the child should be able to find the socks, especially if they're color coordinated and they're actually putting their socks in the laundry. So does that help at all? How do you handle all the paperwork in a household? Okay. Sorry. Paperwork for a household. I have what we call the Bible. And we created this Bible when my ex-husband was in the military. And it was imperative that we had all important papers in one place. So if, something happened and we got called up or whatever, which never happened, but they really instilled this in our minds. So I had a little folder, and it was basically a wire, like, those poly folders with the flaps and the little things in it. That's what it was. And it had like six different sections. So in one section, I had all of my oldest daughters. I had her birth certificate, her shot records, her social security card. Everything was in that pocket. And then every person in the family had their own little pocket. So if I ever had to go get shot records for school, or if I had to get, if she got a job and needed her social security card, it was all in one book. I would recommend, if you do have a book like that, to put it in a fireproof safe somewhere that you actually have access to in a short, short period of time. If you need to get that paper out, then you have it. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Marilyn says, yep, military papers in one place like a go bag. My husband had his own, ex-husband had his own Bible, which was like this thick, because they told him, do not ever throw away any piece of paper the military gives you. But anyway, did that help your aunt? Did that answer your question about paperwork? If there's anything like bills and tax records and stuff like that, I also have a binder for checks. Said that earlier. I have a binder that I put all my old tax returns in, any W-2s and stuff like that. I usually scan all of my W-2s and my kids' W-2s because I usually do their tax returns. I scan them in, and I have actually a Google Drive that I keep everything digital so that if anything ever happened to that binder, I would still be able to get to it. Or if they're like, Mom, I need a copy of yada, 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 I can pull it up pretty quickly. So what other kind of paperwork can we think? household. Like if you have, I do not keep any instruction manual for any kind of product that I buy because you can find it online. I promise you. If I pulled up this microphone right now and looked at the instructions, I'm sorry if that made a noise. If I pull up my microphone online, it's going to give me a it's going to give me an instruction manual, or my vacuum, or my ring light, or anything. It's going to be online unless it's something super, super obscure, which hopefully you'll be able to find it. But I just don't recommend keeping anything like that. Let's see. I know there was one. I'm going to get to that. I'm probably say it right now. Recommendations. I'm going to skip a couple. Nope, just kidding. Oh, a good way to organize receipts and pay bills. Shred them. Scan them and shred them. If you have to have them for a business. Anytime I'm buying something for my business, I will take a picture of it right at the checkout line, or I'll have it sent to me via text if that's an option on the thing. And I'll have that receipt in my pictures and I will put it into a Google folder for that project. And that's how I keep up with receipts. Otherwise, they're in the trash. Paid bills, same thing, shred them. If it's like the electric company, a credit card, your car payment, anything like that, those companies are set up to produce electronic statements and they can produce an electronic proof that you've paid that statement. Okay. So you don't have to hold on to those, shred them. How long should we hold on to bank statements, bill, health insurance statements, stuff like that? Bank statements, I don't hold on to. Again, they're available online. Bills, I don't hold on to those either. I get everything e-bill. And if it doesn't come e-bill, like some doctors will send me just random paper, I shred it. As soon as it's paid, it goes in the shredder. Health insurance papers, if you have to have, like when my mom died, she had life insurance stuff that had to be kept. So I kept a little accordion file folder with all of her stuff in it, like anything that came from her, you know, legal or any of that from her estate. So I had all of that in one central folder that I kept up with. And again, I don't keep a lot of stuff, a lot of paper. I usually keep things shredded. So let's see. Do you have any recommendations for how to handle paperwork that comes home in kids' backpacks? I pull up crumbled up worksheets, artwork, notes, etc., but never know what to do with it. I don't feel like I can throw most of it away yet, but it ends up sitting in a pile for months and months. Okay. Here's the thing. When your child started this classroom season, this year, the school year, his teacher, her teacher said, "Hey, this is our system, guys. When you come in and you've done your homework overnight, you're going to turn in your homework into this box." So those kids are immediately trained from day one that when they come in, they put their folder or whatever they need to turn in the teacher's box. You have just as much leverage to do the same thing. You can say, every time you come home, you take your papers and put it in this box. Anything I need to sign, anything that I need to look at immediately can come in this box. Because you need to teach them responsibility too. And if it's crumbled, who cares? If it's a big mess, it's fine. Another thing that a lot of people ask me about is what do I do with like their artwork and stuff? I don't want to throw it away because then they have a tantrum. So I would create a board, either a magnet on the refrigerator or just get a piece of wood with some like those little clip things on it or whatever. And have them display their favorite piece of art for the whole week. And then on Friday, or however often they bring home their papers, maybe it's once a month, I don't know. Then they can exchange it out and put their other favorite piece of artwork up to display it. And when the ones that come off that have already been displayed, you can take a picture of it, put it in a nice little digital photo book, and you've got it forever. You do not have to get rid of it. You can get rid of the paper. But And you can show them, look, mommy can pull it up right here. I can even print it out. Now, if it's something like a 3D with like noodles and shit glued to it, you could still take pictures of it and it's still going to look pretty cool. And they're going to know. I mean, you're going to know it's macaroni or whatever. So I guess my point to that was if you can take a picture of it and keep it in like a digital scrapbook or a digital folder, even, it's just as easy and much better, actually. And you don't have to keep that folder. Or you don't have to keep that paper. All right. Let's see. I hope that answered your question. So yeah, it's back to the backpack thing. If you put little boxes as they come in, like wherever they normally come in and just drop their backpacks, in that vicinity, if you could have a little inbox and you can just get like a, I don't have one out, but if you just have like a little, paper size bin, you can get it at the Dollar Tree, put it there, and that's your inbox. Anything that mama and daddy need to look at and sign needs to go here. And then it's up to you to make sure you sign it and put it back in their backpack. And then it's up to them to make sure that they get it back to school, right? The teacher is expecting that. So you need to expect the same thing from them. They are trained in the classroom on how to put things away and put things in the right bin, things that need to be picked up and whatever. So this is definitely a thing that you can do. Where should we start? There is so much. I still have my mom stuff. Oh, Stacy. If you're completely overwhelmed with where to start, pick one visible space in your house that you can do first. Maybe it's your bathroom counter. Just clean it off, declutter it, throw away what you don't need. Maybe you can do your coffee table. Maybe you can do a bookcase, something that's visible, because you want to be able to feel like you're making some progress. And in order to do that, you want to be able to see it. So a sock drawer, even though that's probably super easy, it's not going to be as if you did an open space that you can see. A kitchen counter, maybe all the kitchen counters. So start with what you can, do the visible spaces first, and then you can come back and start doing the drawers and cabinets and things like that. I teach a whole lesson about what to do with your parents' or your lost loved ones' things. And it's hard. I get it. I lost my mom 2 years ago. And I want to encourage you that if you want to keep her things, that's fine. But keep them because she wanted you to have them. More than likely, she bought those things for herself. She did not buy them thinking, oh, one day, I think it was Stacy is going to have these. She didn't buy them for you. She bought them for herself. Now she's gone. She has no use for them. And again, back to the first date dress, you don't have to have those items to bring back that memory of your mom. Just because you're getting rid of something doesn't mean that you're getting rid of her. Keep some of her things behind me. That's why I have this whole thing. A lot of that is memorabilia from when my mom passed away or my grandmother and grandfather. The book, oh, that book, right? It's a pumpkin, was a book my mom loved. I made it into a pumpkin. So every fall I can put it out. If you're not going to display it or use it, you don't need to keep it. She didn't buy it for you. Donate it, sell it. Do something like that, which your mom would love to have. Your mom would love to have seen you get rid of things. She would not have wanted you to have overwhelm and have clutter. She would not want that for you. So think about that. When you're getting rid of her things, it's not about you. It's about what she had, what she owned. Okay. Another question is, email and pictures, both printed and digital, help. email and pictures, both printed and digital. Are you talking about pictures like that you have like 4x6 printed pictures? So I just did this summer, is went through every picture I owned and I got rid of all my duplicates and I made little baggies, little gallon size Ziploc bags, and I put like all of my oldest daughter's pictures in one, all of my middle daughters in one, all my sons in one. So you can imagine, like, my oldest daughter had like 3 gallon bags. My middle daughter had two. My poor son had like hardly any, because we know the third kid comes around, you're like, well, first of all their pictures were digital anyway, but that's how it is. So if you have, excuse me, if you have been a bunch of printed pictures, I would recommend either scanning them and putting them into some kind of digital book. There's all kinds of companies out there, Shutterbug or Shutterfly or whatever. They do books that you can send them pictures and they'll put it into like a little scrapbook for you. Digital scrapbooking is a thing. You can Google it, Pinterest it. So you don't have to keep any of that stuff. How do you approach a big project a bit at a time? Go until you drop. No. You make a plan. And that's one of those things that I do teach in my audio course. And the first module is your kitchen, basically. And I have you sit down and I have you look at the space in real time with your paper. You have a workbook, and I want you to write out, what do you love about the space? What do you hate about the space? What do you want to change about the space? If this space could be perfect, what would it look like? If it was your ideal kitchen, not a Pinterest or a Southern Living kitchen, your kitchen in its best version, what would it look like? And then you make all this list out. So you have something to work for. You have a why. Why do I want this? So that I can come home and cook and it's nice. Then once you make the plan, I lay out like step by step by step what to do. If you don't have the audio course, that's fine. What you do is you get in front of the kitchen and you think, okay, I'm going to do the drawers. You make yourself a to-do list. You guys have heard Corinne talking about the to-do list, the 2 to 10 minute things. What you do is you just say, okay, silverware drawer. And then you list out like three things. I'm going to pull all the silverware out, throw away the not matching things, throw away the things that don't belong or whatever. And then you have these lists that you can go by and you check off. The more minute you're making your lists, the more like laser focused your list is, the easier it's going to get done and the more dopamine you're going to get because you can check off things faster. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. I like the feeling when I get rid of stuff, but it never fails that sometime later on, I regret getting rid of some of it. Like I find a need for something and wish I still had it. How do I get over those feelings? So, as y'all know, I'm Corinne's home organizer. I do her, when she moved from her old house to her new house, I was going in and doing purges over, like downsizing her house in order to help them move. And then once she got into the new house, I set it up, the closets and kitchen and things like that. So I had her on my podcast and she said the most profound thing. We all know Corinne says some pretty profound things, but she said that she actually went back to find a shirt that she wanted to wear and she couldn't find it. And then she remembered, oh shit, I donated it. But she said, then she was like, I'm okay with that because out of 100 times, 99% of that, I didn't regret anything. That one time is okay. So she would rather have the feeling of a organized closet and everything she owns fits and she loves and she's comfortable and she's confident when she wears it versus having that one shirt back. What's more important, having that one thing back or having a house that doesn't cause you anxiety? So I hope that helps. Also, we live in a very, very, very amazing time where if you throw something out that you think you might need, Amazon, you can go buy it again. Or you can get on that buy nothing group. People give shit away all the time. If you have a buy nothing group in your Facebook community, look it up. It's amazing. Maintenance of a decluttered house. I can get it company ready, but can't keep it that way. Any major tips? All right, number one, if you can get it company ready, why are you giving your company the best version of your house and not yourself? Why are you letting your company, your guests, your visitors enjoy your beautiful home, but you're not enjoying it? Think about that. The best way you can maintain a cluttered house is to do the triangle. Make the big plan, clear out the closets, purge the kitchen, get rid of all the shit in the garage that you don't need. So that when you get to the middle section of, I have a fucking screwdriver that I need to, screw in a whatever, I can go back and put it in the garage because I cleaned it out and now I have a space for my screwdriver. It's like you have to do the big job in order to make the little jobs easier, which will make the subconscious habits completely easy. Fly with it. No brainers. Does that help? I didn't mean to like call you out, but seriously, if your company is getting the better version of your house, you really need to consider why. Why don't you deserve that house? My spouse has every tool but can never find what he needs. That's what drives me nuts, but I can't get him to help clear the garage advice. I rarely know what something is of his. Okay, so when I do a big purge like that, if I were to do a garage, I pull everything out that can move, if I can move it. I move everything out into the driveway. And then I assign stations and I say, okay, this is your toolbox, this is your tool shelf, whatever it is. And every single shelf, every single drawer in the toolbox is going to have a function. You can put duct tape with a black marker and say screwdrivers, tape measures, whatever you want to. Label every single thing so that when it comes time to putting things away, there is no decision to be made. It just goes back. Because every space in your house has a function, so that now everything you own has a home. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. But yeah, if you pull everything out and then you label everything, give everything a function, then he gets to go and do the shopping and put his things back where he wants them in the drawers that we've assigned that function. I hope that helps. Then do you store all the binders with all the papers? This is three. You can put it wherever. If you want to put them in your like a fireproof safe, I would do that. But this is a big cube storage that we got from IKEA. There's three of them. So there's two here and one that goes that way. And this makes it like it separates this room from another room over there. And so I have a whole wall of books and journals and things like that. That's where I keep them. How do you organize all No BS workshop information if you aren't digital? How organize all No BS? Oh, so I have all of my journals and planners over here on that wall with all my other things. I don't always keep them. Sometimes I just throw them away. I will tell you guys a secret. When I went through Corinne's house and worked through her journals, she went digital and she still had all those paper things. She read through some of it. And she kept some of it that she needed to like keep for more notes, but then she made the notes digitally and threw them away. She didn't hold on to that shit. So think about that. I feel like I'm going so fast. Can you provide recommendations for organizers based outside your area? I know what to do, and I can complete, purge, donate, keep, and find a place for it process. So if you just do a Google search for home organizers, they're everywhere. It's kind of odd that, it's such a needed thing, but we don't really advertise a whole lot. For one thing, from my perspective, I advertise a little bit, but I'm very particular about who I work with because A, I don't want to walk into somebody's house and it's creepy or whatever. So you may do a Google search, you may find it that way. I help people virtually. You have so many different ways that you can work with me personally. I offer virtual coaching or consulting where we get on an hour-long call once a week. we at, go into action together live. You can also do the audio course, which is me in a private podcast talking to you through my, your earbuds, saying, go open this drawer, pull this out, tell me what you think, write it down. Do you have a plan? Go do that, push pause, and come back. So there's the audio course that you can do. There is the virtual sessions that you can do with me. Or if you're in the Nashville, Huntsville area, I can do in person. But you can also find, if you have like a group on Facebook with a local community, just ask for recommendations. People do hire us, so it does happen. So you may be able to get some good recommendations. Okay, what is a good way to deal with projects that are in progress, unfinished? That is what creates the most piles around here. Depends on what the project is. If it's like you're building a cabinet with all this wood in the garage, just leave it out there. But if it's like a scrapbook and you have all little tiny pieces and whatnot, just at the end of your project, you just put things, not the end of your project, end of your session of trying to complete the project, you just put everything, close it up, put it in the box, put it away, put it on your calendar for the next time you want to do that project so that you actually go back to it and you finish it and you practice finishing things over and over and over again. Okay. Christy, am I okay to keep answering questions? Let me know. I don't know. If I can go over, I don't mind going over at all. Is there a rule of thumb for how much clothes I should have? Maybe a silly question, but I grew up with a hoarder. So, Andrea, that is an amazing question. I take hoarding very seriously. If I see a situation where I feel like it's a hoarding situation, I probably don't touch it because it is so serious. It's a mental illness, and it's very serious. But the rule of thumb, there's no particular number. Like, I don't think you need to have like six sweaters and that's it. What I think you need to do is if you have a space assigned to a function, said that backwards. If you have a function assigned to a space, this space right here is going to hold my clothes. That is how much clothes you need to keep. If you go over that, then you need to start. If your space starts to get, overflowing and it starts creeping out into other places, that's when you need to take a step back and think, okay, I probably have too much. A lot of times we own enough stuff to fill a mansion, but we live in a cottage. We need to really consider our space. The space is what matters, not our stuff. We don't want more stuff than we can hold in our space. We want a space that's comforting, that's an environment that's welcoming. What do you do with a sloppy spouse? Well, you divorce. I'm just kidding. A sloppy spouse, this is my answer. If you're going to get angry at somebody for being sloppy and messy and leaving their shit everywhere, then you can't get angry unless you're 100% perfect all the time. They may be in a really, really bad place. They may have grown up without any direction or any responsibility when it comes to cleaning. Is it your job to teach them? That's up to you. But you can't get angry at somebody unless you're 100% perfect all the time. If you want something cleaned up, do it. If you see a mess and you know your husband did it, but he is upstairs on his phone in the bed, just clean it up. The more you do that, the more you're taking back control. The minute you start letting him into your head because he's sloppy and you get out angry, I'm going to tell y'all a true story. Just last week, I asked my daughter to unload the dishwasher, and I never do that. But for some reason, I just thought I'm going to ask her. So I asked her, and then she was like, I can't. I have to go. I got angry. Otherwise, I wouldn't have cared. I would have just done the dishes because I wanted the dishes done. I don't know why I asked her. But the minute I gave that control over to her because she didn't have time to do the dishes, I got angry. when really I wanted the dishes done. So why didn't I just do it? So hope that helps. Old electronics. Okay, Megan, last question. We'll wrap it up here. Old electronics, a lot of places, like Best Buy, GameStop, you can find places online where you can trade stuff in, old phones, computers, laptops, and things like that. If it's completely outdated, that you probably can't even find a charger for anymore. I would get with your county. Sometimes counties have like a recycle place where they can recycle parts and stuff like that, like old microwaves and things like that. They'll probably have a recycle center that you can do that with. Otherwise, you can donate it or just trash it, unfortunately. So, okay, guys. Oh my God, my throat is. Oh. Okay, let me find the share screen again because I'm going to show you guys one more thing and then we're done. All right. So I talked about my audio course and I also talked about the three ways that you guys can work with me. You can work with me in person if you're in Nashville or if you're in Huntsville. I live in Alabama, but I am willing to travel up to Nashville because I do go up to Corinne's and do her house. And you can work with me virtually. I have a package where you get like 12 weeks one-on-one sessions, me and you on Zoom. You're in the space that you want to declutter. I give you direction, you do the action, and then I give you homework. And then when we come back the next time, we do another space or we keep going on that same space. So that's how we do that. And that kind of helps you with some of the obstacles. Also, I have this audio course. And for you guys who are in this presentation today, or anybody who listens to the replay, you will get a no BS code to get $75 off just for October. So it's that coupon code will go away October 31st. So if you want the course, basically, I'll give you a little idea of what that course is like. It is a private podcast that you will get a direct link, just like Corinne does with the replays. It's a private link that only you will have access to. You will open that link, it'll give you all the episodes and modules. Not only do you get the modules, but you will also get invited into a private VIP Facebook group where I do weekly check-ins and I put those calls replays into the podcast as well. So you can hear me actually talking in live time with other people in the group. But the audio course goes through different spaces in your house. It is definitely a game changer, I think, and had quite a lot of people do it. And I have some new modules coming out. And I also have a new course that I'm going to create for next year for people like me who have like attention, focus, distraction problems. And if you were to get this audio course, you will get the new course for free. So if you sign up today and get this course, you'll get the new course that comes out next year for free. But that one's going to be little bitty tiny chunks for people who have distraction and issues with that. So, that being said, I have really, really enjoyed this, guys. I cannot thank the No BS team enough for everything that they have let me do here tonight. And you guys have been amazing with your questions. And if you have any other questions, feel free to send me a DM. I'm Becky B. Hyman, that's HEIMAN on Facebook. I'm also the Hoss Lady on Facebook, but I tend to do more work through my personal page or on Instagram. Send me a message, ask me some questions. If you want to just talk about my process and get more information, I will do a free consult call so we can set that up anytime. Okay. All right. I really appreciate you guys. And thank you, Christy, for being our moderator tonight. And I loved it. All right, guys, thank you so much.